I want you to turn right into the book of Genesis again this morning. We begin to talk about the blessing. Say, the blessing. Not a blessing, but the blessing. You say, well, what about a blessing? Well, a blessing is included in the blessing. But the blessing is speaking of something very specific and something that God started as we've talked about this, as we talk both foundationally and from the beginning. And we can't leave the beginning yet. But we're going to talk today about God's purpose for the blessing. How many of you know God doesn't do things just to see how things... He doesn't experiment. You need to understand that. The devil thinks God's involved in an experiment. The devil thinks God was experimenting to see if He could make a being that could overcome. A being that could actually be in His likeness and image and actually make it, or if He would ultimately fail as Adam and Eve did. But you see, God had a plan, and the plan was the blessing. And the blessing may be the core of what is the good news. The very core of it. Now we know that Yeshua is the means by which God's blessing is given to mankind. There could be no blessing without the shed blood of Jesus. You understand that? But I want you to begin to think with me today about this. And sometimes we just need to talk it over. We just need to have some midrash. We need to just kind of talk and let things begin to develop from the Word of God. And this may not be as much a line upon line teaching from the Word, but it'll still be a teaching that will admonish you, a teaching that will reveal the Word to you. We learned as we began to speak about the blessing, that the blessing has been throughout the history of mankind progressive. It's been progressive in its revelation. God is revealing the blessing. He spoke it to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But that's not when He first spoke of the blessing. He first blessed in the garden. And today I want to talk a little bit about that. He spoke it to Isaac. He spoke it to Jacob. He spoke it to all of Israel. He spoke it to David. The blessing. And the blessing, we found out by looking at a few verses, makes the one who is blessed a blessing to others. That's always true. When one is blessed, he will be a blessing. That's the plan. We're looking at God's purpose for the blessing. This has been a progressive revelation. That all the earth would be blessed through Abraham. And so it is that when God blesses us, it's for the purpose of blessing us to bless others. And this is where we get into problems when we get into teachings that are, for instance, just call it the prosperity teaching. Well, the prosperity teaching is very, very true, but you see, you can get into it in the wrong point and get the cart before the horse, and all the prosperity teaching is flesh. Getting all kind, it's covetousness. And so we don't want to look at prosperity in that way. Do we believe in prosperity? Absolutely. We look at the people God blessed and they were extremely prosperous. But they weren't just extremely prosperous for themselves, they were extremely prosperous to help others, bless others. We've been talking a little bit about the things that are happening in these end times. Cherie and Trey had some dreams recently. Different people, by the way, have been dreaming and seeing things like this happen. And many people are teaching that it's time for us to begin to operate like Joseph did in the wisdom of Joseph and store up some things for these last days. Food. Clothing. Things that could help someone if there were a major catastrophe. And by the way, it's not a matter of will there be? It's when there will be major catastrophes. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? Do you know that there are catastrophes in the book of Revelation that are going to kill a third of mankind? A third of all flesh? You say, well, that won't happen while I'm here. No, it may not. Or, you know, maybe you haven't understood the eschatology just right. Maybe you don't know the whole future. But let's say this, we've already seen some things that have hurt a lot of people. Now, you can handle them a couple different ways. You can run hide in a cave and hope it doesn't come nigh you. Or you can dwell in the secret place of the Most High and it won't come near you. Better, isn't it? But you see, in the storing up of food, there's two different ways of looking at it. I can store it up so, as one of the guys said, if you buy this plan from me, I'll sell you for $1,000 enough food for two for 1 year. Or enough food for one for 2 years. Well, you see, it gets selfish as it goes. Or you could have some food around so that you could help others in a terrible time. So that you could actually be a food distribution point. How many remember that Joseph didn't just store up food for the children of Israel, but for the known world came to Egypt and he sold food to them. They were able to have food in a time of extreme trouble. So the blessing is always to bless others. And it has something to do, we found out when we read about it, that who shall ascend into your holy mountain? Who shall come before the throne of God? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So there seems to be something to do with purity and obedience that looses the blessing. We don't ever want to take away from grace because we know that the blessing is ultimately because of His grace. Grace means that we didn't merit His favor. He gave it to us. It also has something to do with anointing because we read in Psalm 133 that the anointing is where men dwell together in unity. So the blessing is loosed through unity, which has something to do with the anointing of God. And when you say anointing, you know, we can go to the simple meaning of the word, to smear or to rub or to massage. Or we can go to what we know about the anointing is that it's supernatural. The supernatural. So let me go back to Genesis a little bit with this, and let's talk about it. Genesis 1:3, God said, we read in the text, Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, if you have the ability to read a little Hebrew, you know there aren't near as many words in Hebrew as there are in English. Did you know that? Things aren't written out with as many words. And what God really said, if you really read this, God said, or really when it says said, the word said is amar. Amar in Hebrew. But amar means to call out. So God called out. This is the way this could be translated. God called light. And there was light. Now, for you to see what that would be like, what's your dog's name?
Peanut.
Peanut. What do you do when Peanut's out in the yard and you want Peanut to come in? You say, Peanut! Right? And a lot of dogs ignore you when you do that, but generally, the plan is the Peanut's going to appear and come, right? Well, when God called, and that's just what he didn't sit there and say, light be. He just said, light. There was light. You talk about a flashbulb. There was light in darkness. That's what he did. He just called it. And if you read, that's what he did. He called to the heaven, heaven, and to earth. And they just, pew, 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 they just began to form. You understand? When God wanted the darkness or the water and the land to divide, he didn't just say, now, let all of the waters go over here and let all and do. No, he just said, water, land. And that's what they did. He called them into place. He called them into being. He called them. And they were. He called them. God said light. Well, we know there's light and there's absence of light, which is darkness. You need to start thinking about it that way. God didn't create darkness. Darkness was the absence of light before there was light. But when God called light, God saw light, and light was good, and God said, no more will darkness and light dwell together. If light's there, there won't be darkness. And how many know that it works that way? You can get in a really dark place and light a little bitty match. Guess what? There may be some dim places, but it's still light, isn't it? It changes darkness to light. And this is supernatural light that we saw in the beginning. Light and darkness could also be called life and death. So we begin to see the whole separation of Scripture. Light and darkness could be looked at as the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The law of God is light. In Genesis 1:26, let's read this the same way. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So now, remembering what you know about the Hebrew, what did God do? God called. He didn't just say. Remember now, He called. He said, man in our likeness after our image. Or in our image after our likeness. He just called it. And what did He do when He did that? Well, He took a man, and we know this because if we read Genesis 2:7, we know what He formed the body of man out of. Genesis 2:7 says that Yahweh God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I want you to think about how He breathed in. You know, I've always kind of seen him do a little bit of mouth-to-mouth. Like that. But you know what? What happens when we speak in terms of physiology? What has to happen physiologically for you to speak? You breathe in and through your vocal cords, right? You direct air into your vocal cords, but actually speaking is a function of breathing, is it not? If you think it's not, try to speak when you're sucking in. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? No, the breathing in comes, and you learn this a lot when you sing, don't you, about breath control, when you can breathe. And most of us have a pretty good natural way of doing it when we speak. Only the people with the long run-on sentences get into the problems and go, like that, right? So, what did God do? Now, He's got this body of man made. What did He make the body out of? Remember, we said, if you were to read that in the Hebrew again, you would read, Yahweh, Elohim, formed Ish. No, Yahweh Elohim formed Adam of Adama. Adam of Adama. Adam is man, and dust is Adama. So it makes sense He would have formed Adam out of Adama, doesn't it? Goes together. You find that the Hebrew is much more expressive about this. Now, He formed him out of the dust of the earth. What did He have made? He had a physical body. The physical body was formed, fully developed. And I believe mature. Now, did Adam hear any of this going on? No. He didn't hear it. Because he was not yet alive. Just his body was there. Fully formed. Perfect. Ready to go, but What's missing? The life, the spirit, the breath, the ruach. The ruach. So God speaks, and as He speaks, His breath goes forth. His breath goes forth. And God said, man, after our image, in our likeness. And suddenly, here's man with the Spirit of God breathed into him. The words he spoke were the breath. Can you see that? I say, can you see that's how he did it? Just by what he said. Just like he created everything. Said it. His breath, his spirit, spoke it into existence. Up until this time, the only voice that could be heard was God's voice. I don't believe the animals could even speak yet, even though they'd all been created. By the way, how were the animals created? Well, according to the scripture, God said in Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind. So he just spoke and they were formed. But the earth, they came out of the earth. Now, Adam's body came out of the earth, but God formed. There's a definite forming of man where it doesn't say that about the animals, and especially it doesn't say that God breathed into them the breath of life, because they have a different life, don't they? They have a soulish life, but not a spirit life. The ruach is not in the animal. Most people treat their animals nowadays like they have a spirit. Most people are going to be concerned if their animals don't end up in heaven. And personally, I am not concerned. I'm concerned about me. Amen? And you, people. But there's a lot of people. You'd be amazed how even some very reputable folks are trying to come up with scripture to show that there's got. Well, I believe there'll be animals in heaven probably, but I just don't necessarily believe that animals that die go to heaven. And I'm sorry for that, but I just don't believe it. And if you have a problem with it, why, you can talk to God about it, because He didn't tell us that He did it. But there's the way it is anyhow. But God says about man, He says, man! Calls him, he puts that breath into him. Man, in our likeness and in our image. And he puts into him that breath of life with the word of God, just like he said, light! He said, man! And there goes the breath of God into him. And man became a living soul, says in Genesis 2:7, or a speaking spirit, some translators say. Man became a speaking spirit. You see how that's different than the animals? Animals aren't speaking spirits. They can bark. They can meow. They can coo. They can squawk. But they don't have speaking. Parrots don't speak. They squawk and emulate, right? They don't know what they're saying. They just emulate. Just like a mockingbird emulates sounds. So he put into him, and it's interesting what this life name is it's Jonathan's middle name. Chaim. Chaim. Can you see what sound does Chaim have? Hold your hand up here. Chaim. Feel it? Chaim. Now wipe your hand off. There's life. That's what God's doing. He formed the Chaim, the breath. Not like the animals, but a speaking spirit. And then he said, going back to verse 26 of Genesis 1, man in our likeness, man in our image after our likeness. He's breathed that in. Chaim has gone into him. And let them have dominion. Say dominion. Say dominion. You want to really get to where you can say dominion, because the blessing is connected to dominion. The blessing has to do with dominion. dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And as God speaks, His words are breath of life to man, not only bringing him to life, but also at the same time establishing what he will be in our likeness, in our image, having dominion. Does God have dominion? Yeah, he's creator of the universe. That's what we say. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, King of the universe. He has dominion. What's he doing? He's transferring, because man's in his image and after his likeness. Dominion. Have dominion over everything. Think about it. It's every created thing. Every created thing. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, I don't believe that Adam had heard anything that's gone on so far. If he did, it was just the end of what God was saying, because his was just a body at first, and then all of a sudden life comes in and he's alive. But now we're getting to the point where God is going to begin to speak to Adam. He's not just speaking about him. He's not speaking and in creation. He's not just breathing into him. But I don't believe Adam had heard anything until this time. His first words that he spoke were just the breath of life to Adam. But suddenly, verse 28 said, and God blessed. Say blessed. Well, I want to tell you there's a lot of different things that you can teach about blessing, but one of the things that we know blessing has to do with is speech. Blessing has to do with saying. And God is saying. God blessed. There's another thing we need to say about blessing. Blessing is an empowerment. It is speaking empowerment. When a owner of a company appoints someone as his foreman, what is he doing? He appoints a foreman. He hires a foreman. What's he doing to that foreman? He's what? That's right. He is empowering him to act for him, isn't he? When we hire policemen in this country, and policemen are hired, what is the appointment of a policeman? What does it do? Empowers them with authority or dominion to enforce written law, right? What's written? And so God is now saying, he's appointing man, and he's telling him that I am empowering you, I am blessing you, I am empowering you to have dominion. Read the rest of verse 28. It says, and God said unto them, God called unto them, fruitful. God called, multiply. God called, replenish, or really the better word there is fill the earth. Fill the earth. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And this is the essence of what is called the Edenic covenant. Say Edenic. The covenant of Gan Eden. Gan Eden. The Garden of Eden. Edenic covenant. And that covenant says, have dominion and power over all creation. Is that fair to say it that way? Have dominion and power over all creation. But what don't you have power over? over all created beings except... This is important, because this is where you will immediately see men begin to go off the track. Have dominion and power over all creation. But what don't you have power and dominion over? But he say free will. What don't you have power and dominion over? Over other men. You have every fish. Men have dominion over fish. Some men that fish don't know it yet. You have dominion over beasts of the earth. You have dominion over birds of the air. I think you would have found it very interesting to see what happened. That there wasn't just a lot of animals running around doing their thing until Adam gave them leave to do it. I think they were waiting for Adam. You've got to remember now, God's done an amazing transfer here. God has dominion, but God has said to man, have dominion. He has transferred, appointed, given authority, empowered man to do what only God could do. And I believe animals waited for God to give them instruction. But now God has transferred that authority to Adam. And I believe the animals began to do what they did when Adam gave them leave. That's what I believe. He gave him dominion. And see, we want to take that and make that kind of a, just kind of a minor thing. It didn't mean too much. You know, Adam was there. Still had to build fences to keep things out of the Garden of Eden, right? No, he didn't. I don't believe he had to worry about the deer eating where they weren't supposed to. I think he told them, you eat there. That's what you're to eat. That's your part. You eat over here. That's what you eat. You're living peacefully together. Remember now, there were no carnivores. Did you know that? Men didn't eat blood, and neither did animals at this time. All men were herbivores. And he told them what to do. Now, this is all just, I know I'm going into it slowly, but think about it. Think about how big this was, what God had done. And how did Eve and Adam differ from God? He made them in His likeness and in His image and put divinity in them with His breath, with His words. How did they differ? Well, you see, if you really think about it, and if you study it without religious filtering. See, religious filtering tells man that man is nothing. Well, what changed things was sin. But at this time now, there was no sin. No religious filtering. Adam was made in the image of God, in His likeness, and God breathed His very spirit into him. So how does man differ from God? I believe there's one place. I believe there's one place. And that is in the area of God is sovereign. Now, God is sovereign. Say that. God is sovereign. What does that mean? Well, people have said, well, God can do whatever God wants to do. He could. But once He began to give instructions and set laws, then God could no longer do what He wanted to do, could He? Because He didn't want to do anything but what He said. So He limited Himself by His Word. And man was made to have a Lord. That's the only difference. God's sovereign, but man was made to have a Lord. And whether you like it or not, if you're a man or a woman, you will have a Lord. And the Lord will be one of two entities. It will be the Almighty Everlasting God, or it will be Satan. Satan was never supposed to be man's Lord, but that's what happened. Can you see that? Can you see that's what happened? So the blessing bestows an empowerment to have dominion. We're just like God, but man, except that man was made to have a Lord. And we read in Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now that's the story of what happened to Adam. Who did he yield himself to? Who did Adam yield himself to? God had given him dominion, and we don't know how long it went on that he walked in that dominion. We know it went on long enough that Adam named all the animals. He called them whatever he would, and whatever he called them, that's what they were known by. We know that it went on for a time. But eventually, after the instruction was given not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of self-centeredness, where people become self-centered. Soon as they ate that, what was the first thing they knew about themselves? The first thing they knew, not we shouldn't have said about themselves, what was the first thing they knew when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They were naked. They knew about themselves. They began to look at themselves. The tree, this illegal knowledge that they had, caused them to look inwardly. I don't believe it's the same as just knowing good from bad. It was poison. It ministered poison, which was death to them. And the way they did it was because Hasatan, everybody say Hasatan. That means the Satan. The Satan had come and gotten into an animal. The Bible said it was a serpent. And was able to speak. Now, if you stop and think about all of this and go back and just meditate it a little bit, Adam should have known that serpents were not speaking spirits. Right? Why? Because God had given him dominion over all the animals, and he was only the only speaking spirit in the garden. So this had to be an invading spirit that had come into the garden. What did God tell Adam to do with the earth? What was his instruction and his blessing? Subdue the earth. Have dominion over. Over what? Fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And that serpent was moving upon the earth. But Adam, knowing that that serpent had spoken, didn't say, "Get out of here in the name of the Almighty God." And he could have done it, couldn't he? I say he could have done it, couldn't he? Did he have dominion? Did everything on the earth have to obey him? Yes. But he didn't do that. Instead, Adam yielded himself as a servant to the serpent, Hasatan. You see that in Romans 6:16. So he yielded himself to obey, and by obeying, he and Eve became the servants of Satan, or the servants of sin. Now remember, God had taken man and set him in the garden, we read. Now, I didn't read that to you today, but if you read the account, it said God made man and set him in the garden. I believe he made him outside of the garden. And by the way, does anybody know how big that garden was? Well, it would be hard to really tell because we don't know the course of rivers precisely today, but it was a huge chunk. Now, it was not the whole earth. It was a chunk of the earth. And it was over in the area probably where Iraq is today. That's where the garden was. But it was big. I mean, it was bounded by rivers. You remember reading that? That rivers were the boundaries of the garden. And I don't think it's talking about some little place, but it may have been, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres, and it was a garden prepared for man. But God took man from out of the garden where he had made him and placed him in the garden. Some believe, and I tend to go along with this, that where he was when he first made him, he could see the thorns and the thistles. But he took him and put him in the garden where everything was ready to go. Now, you know, when God made the earth, he made it amazing. Did you ever think about it? We were down in Puerto Rico a few years ago, and people down there, they'll take trees out of the ground. They just chop the limbs off of them, and they make fence posts out of them. And they put these fence posts in the ground. And the ground is so fertile down there that those fence posts begin to sprout, and leaves start coming off. A lot of the fence posts down there have leaves growing off of them. And the ground really was made to do that. This Garden of Eden principle that God put into the earth was amazing. And I believe, you know, the more I study this, the more I believe that what Adam was put on the earth to do was to tend this garden, and that the garden would eventually take over the rest of the earth. Because what do we know about things that grow? They continue to grow, don't they? And they expand. And they get bigger. And they get bigger. So if Adam had done his job, the plans and the purposes of God, what would have happened? This Edenic kingdom would have just continued to spread out. We talked about it a little the other night, that apparently, if you study the scripture, there's reason to believe that the earth was one mass of land surrounded by the sea. Nowadays, we have seven seas and seven continents, right? There's a five continents. But what happened, we read, in the time of Peleg, who was one of the sons of Shem, was it says that in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. And we believe that there was such a cataclysmic event that, and some of you have studied enough geography and some of the theories that you've heard about continental drift, that the continents just slowly started to separate from each other. There's reason to believe that happened very rapidly. Now, I said all of that to get back to this. Remember the earth. What happens? Has any of you noticed how our fence posts have done out here that we put in the ground? They haven't sprouted, but what have they done? They what? Why do they lean? Nope. It's not. It is because of what the ground's doing, but the ground's not changing. The ground's just doing what... That's right. There's rot on the bottom. You put a fence post in the ground, and I don't care how good it is, immediately the earth goes to work on that fence post. And it's not because it's bad, it's because it's fertile. The fertility of the ground... What has to happen to a seed for it to sprout? You throw a seed in the ground. It what? It dies. What does that? The earth goes to work on the outer part of that seed and rots the... And if you ever picked a seed out that's been in the ground for a while, it's nasty, isn't it? All slimy and gooey. And what's going on? The life's in the seed, and the life has to get out, and the earth knows how, and the water knows how, to work on the seed to open up the place where that life comes out. And then it can begin to sprout. Well, it's trying to do that to these fence posts out here. The earth doesn't know that they're put in there to be a barrier, because in the beginning there didn't need to be barriers, did there? And so it's trying to do what it does. It's trying to make them grow. You put anything, it doesn't make any difference if it's a rock or what it is. It's going to try to make it grow. That's just the way earth is made. And it kind of gives us a hint into the way God does things, that everything God does is trying to regenerate, repopulate, fill. And that's what I believe God was doing with Eden. But Adam listened to the serpent, and he became a servant of the serpent. See, the plan of God again was that through man's dominion, the earth, I believe, would become Eden. Now, this gets really interesting when you begin to consider what's happening now at the end of the sixth millennium of mankind. The Bible says at the end of sixth millennium, man's lease on the earth is going to be up. And Jesus is going to come back to the earth and set up a kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years, a millennial period, a time when he will be king alone on the earth. There's going to be one world government, by the way, and that's the way we want it then, right? I don't want it that way right now. But when Jesus comes, there's going to be one world government. He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, the Bible says. But I want you to know what he's going to be doing. He's going to be going back to the same call of God that man had to make the earth into an Edenic paradise. Starting with Eden, spreading out. How many of you believe things are going to be pretty nice during the millennium? You have no idea. Really, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But I'll tell you what, he'll reveal them to us by his Spirit. It's going to happen. This is an amazing thing to begin to think about. You see, we talk about having the milk of the Word. And we talk about having the meat of the Word. Well, for those of you that will receive it, we are entering into some meat with this. Because it's going beyond the obvious into those things which you can really get your teeth into and recognize that this was still the blessing at work. Everything God said to Adam, he never changed his mind about. Did you know that? He has never changed his mind about what he said to Adam when he said, "Multiply, fill the earth, have dominion." Still means it. In Romans 11:29, the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That just literally means they don't change. Why? Because Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? If God has not changed his mind about what he said to man, he's not changed his mind about what he said to Noah. He's not changed his mind about what he said to Abraham. He's not changed his mind about what he said to Moses. He's not changed his mind about what he said to David. No, as a matter of fact, he went on and he gave us the Berith Hadashah, the new covenant, which is the continuation and improvement upon all of those covenants, which we read about the new covenant, that it is a better covenant established upon better promises than these. So really, when you get down to what God's Word says, from Genesis through Revelation, it's all in line, say in line, in line. What does that mean? It is in harmony with the blessing that he spoke to Adam, isn't it? Has to be, if he changes not. You see, there's so many people that want to set the Word of God up as a bunch of different dispensations that have altogether different rules that don't apply to us anymore. But that's not true. And when you get into that kind of teaching, you can't do anything but get confused. It's going to confuse you. I used to be confused all the time when I was a kid. I was confused about things that I'd read in the Bible, what God said, and this will remain so forever, he'd say. And I'd say, well, if it remains so forever, why aren't we practicing it today? If the Sabbath day is the Sabbath day forever, why don't we practice it today? And as I've learned and as I've studied, I find more and more things that people take a little bit from here and a little bit from there, and they drop the things they don't understand because all they've done is stayed in the milk of the good news and have never gotten into the meat. All of God's Word is in line and in relationship to His will of the blessing that He spoke to mankind. We read in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, what part did sin play then in relationship to the blessing? God blessed, but sin came. What did sin do about the blessing? By the way, the sin still does the same thing today about the blessing. And what is sin? Sin is, according to the Greek word, hamartia, is to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Well, what mark? The blessing mark. What God said. Adam sinned and it entered the world by him, and death by sin, and it passed on to all of us because of his original sin. And all of us have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, sin is conduct that deters or halts the blessing. Can you see that? When Adam sinned, what did he do? Temporarily put a halt on the blessing of dominion, didn't it? Why? Well, because the dominion that God had given to Adam, Adam had obeyed Hasatan, the devil, and given that dominion to him. Do you know that? Do you understand that that's exactly what he did? He gave dominion, and the world was in darkness because of that. So it's no surprise that God came along with the law of sin and death to save men from their sin during this time and keep them in a place of protection until the time of Messiah should come. Because the devil now had charge over the earth. Do you remember when the devil tempted Jesus? What did he say to him? He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them. And I don't know about your ability to understand that, but my ability to understand is that that had to be a supernatural event. He couldn't have seen all the kingdoms of the earth from any mountain. Everest wouldn't have done it. In fact, where Everest is, he probably couldn't have seen any of them at that time, right? So all the high mountains of the world wouldn't be high enough, but he took him up into an exceeding high place and let him see all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them. And he said to Yeshua, all these are under my authority, and I'll give you dominion over them, right? In so many words, if you will but what? Serve me. Bow down and worship me. Now, Jesus didn't say to Satan, well, that's not the way it is, did he? Because that's the way it was at that time. Adam had committed high treason against God and given his dominion to Satan. And so now Satan's offering it back to Jesus, and Jesus simply and yet powerfully by the word of God says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Right? And overcame him. Did you know that Satan was powerless until Adam gave dominion to him? Think about it. In the garden, we talked about it already. He had to get into this snake, this serpent. Couldn't even talk directly to man until he got into this snake. Because he had no way to interact with man except through what God had created. So he slipped into the serpent. But he had no power. None! Except the one power he has yet today, and that is the power of, let me hear it, deception. The power of deception. That's how he took everything, was through deceiving, through deception. Satan had no power over Adam. Adam gave dominion to him. And today, praise God, Satan is powerless again because of what Yeshua has done. Amen? Do you believe that Satan's powerless? The only power he has today over mankind is deception. Yeshua Colossians 2:15 says it. Let's look at it. Colossians 2:15 said, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And this is talking about what God did. God spoiled principalities. Principalities and powers are speaking of demon spirits and wicked spirits. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in either in the cross of Jesus, or a better word might be in him, in Christ. That's the way God triumphed over Satan. So Satan has no power today. He has been spoiled. And we read in Galatians 3 that Christ hath redeemed us. Say redeemed. See, this is the work he had to do to bring this back. He had to redeem what had been lost. If you lost something and somebody took it and took it to a pawn shop and sold it, and you found it there, did you know you can't just go and say, "Well, that's mine, I lost it"? What's the guy going to say? Yeah, there were six people in today that said the same thing, right? I'm sorry, what are you going to have to do? Buy it back. And boy, our God is so great in that when the devil, by deception, took what was not rightfully his and stole it, man committed treason, gave it over to him, that God didn't give up on man. Would have been pretty easy to do, wouldn't it? Been pretty easy to say. You know, one time when the children of Israel were tempting God in the wilderness, God said, "I'll just destroy them all, and I'll just make a greater nation of you, Moses." So it wouldn't have been impossible. God could have just said, but you know what? God doesn't make mistakes. And so God began to redeem. Just like you'd have to go to that pawn shop owner and redeem your goods. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." And that's where the law of sin and death was taken care of in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. That the blessing of Abraham might come. Say what? The blessing. Say it again. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So what's God doing? Same thing he's been doing all along. He started with the blessing when it was taken away through sin. When it was halted, when it was deterred, when it was slowed down, he began to speak that blessing over mankind. He spoke it in Abraham. He spoke it in Isaac. He spoke it in Jacob. He spoke it in Moses. And he spoke it lastly, and completely, perfectly, through Yeshua HaMashiach. The blessing. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that's the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua. God speaks the blessing when He breathes. Somebody says, "I just wish God would speak." Oh, He's speaking. God's speaking. He's speaking the blessing over us today. He's blessing us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He has given unto us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, He has given unto us all things. Say all things. How many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Unto what? Unto Chaim. Right? You can't say your middle name without speaking life. It's neat. Well, I'll start naming our kids. I think I'm going to name all my kids over. Give them a whole bunch of different names. It's going to be hard to get used to. But I like that. Chaim. God spoke it. God blessed. The blessing. Every time He breathes, the blessing's coming out. You know, the blessing is different than the curse. Now, you know that it's totally opposite, but it's activated in a different way. The blessing is activated when God speaks. How is the curse activated? When what? Yeah, it actually is when we alienate ourselves from the blessing. Remember, sin deters and halts the blessing. And so what is left, if there's no blessing, is the curse. We sometimes think, oh, God's just sitting there ready, thinking up bad things to put in the curse. No, that's the things that aren't in the blessing. Everything that's in life and godliness is good. Everything that's not in life and godliness is death and darkness. So when we begin to see it that way, we begin to understand. The curse is alienation and from the blessing through disobedience and rebellion. That's how we got into the cursed part. When people say, I just live a cursed life, well, you know, there's a choice. I said, there's a choice. You can decide to be in the blessing. How do you have to do it? By faith, by trusting, by believing, by coming to one major act of obedience, and that is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. 1 Corinthians 15:45 said, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Or we said that could be called a speaking spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. What is a quickening spirit? Made alive or life-giving. A life-giving spirit. And so the last man, Adam, is speaking about who? Who's the last Adam? The first Adam. Remember, Adam just means man. The first man. The first Adam, made of Adama. And the last Adam, the quickening spirit, is Yeshua. And the last Adam, Yeshua, has restored and redeemed the blessing through His own perfect obedience. Through His shed blood, which is called the covenant of Shalom. Say Shalom. Thank you very much. I'll receive that. Shalom! Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. Do you begin to see how the blessing and shalom are integral? They're the same. Shalom. That's why this is such a powerful blessing that we speak when we say shalom to one another. So all of the covenants of God were in the process. The Adamic, the Noahic, the Mosaic, the Davidic, the Abrahamic covenants. All of the covenants of God were steps in this process of redemption. Say steps. They were steps in the process of restoring the blessing. And now under the new covenant, the newer covenant, we are back in to where we can walk in the blessing. Say the blessing. That's what I want, is the blessing. Do you want the blessing? We're going to study the blessing until it begins to be a part of you. When somebody talks to you about how you are, you're going to be thinking about the fact that you're in the blessing. I'm walking in the blessing. I'm walking in the blessing of God. Because you see, how you are doesn't depend on how you feel. Literally. Did you ever notice that people always want to tell you how you feel when you say, how you doing? How are you? They want to tell you how they feel. Is that what we should be asking people? How are you feeling? How many of you know your feelings are often controlled by the deceiver? The deceiver will come in and cause feelings, cause symptoms. And so we want to talk about them. What do we want to say about ourselves? Tell me some of the things people say about themselves when somebody asks them how they're doing, that we need to quit saying. As good as can be expected. What else? By the way, if that were true, it would be great.
Right.
What else? What else do people say? We're not talking about, you know, the description of your although people do this, sometimes people just glory in describing every symptom in their body. Have you ever noticed that? Well, I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a major shift in our thinking to quit doing that kind of stuff if you've grown up around it. Tired and busy. I'm just tired and busy. Or I'm sick and tired. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? What are we doing? We're confessing that which is, instead of, the Bible says, to speak those things which be not as though they were. And if we are blessed in Christ Jesus, did Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14 say that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith? So what should we be speaking? The greater truth. The highest truth. The truth that's furthest from that which the deceiver would tell us. Don't tell people how you feel. Tell them what you know the Word of God says about you. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing well. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good. And if the blessing is restored, we ought to be going about doing good, just like Jesus did. Amen? How many of you believe that there's something in the blessing that when you go into places where people aren't feeling blessed, that you can emanate? I know we don't talk about the auras, but how about the atmosphere of peace, the atmosphere of shalom? When we go into businesses that aren't doing well, we often see people follow us in. We don't know why this is. We've gone into restaurant time after time where nobody's there. And all of a sudden, before we can leave that place, all the tables are full. You say, oh, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. No, I'm telling you something. The blessing is in me. And the blessing comes after me. And the blessing overtakes me. And I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed when I lie down, and I'm blessed when I rise up. And I talk about the blessing because I believe in the blessing, and the blessing is God's plan. Say, it's God's plan. It's His purpose. And so if this is His purpose, how many of you want to get in line with His purposes and be blessed? We know that if we're blessed, others will be blessed. I say, I know that if I'm blessed, others will be blessed. When I got saved, I could never have seen how many people have been saved because I got saved. Any of the rest of you see that happening around you? You got saved and you began to have an effect on other people. And we've watched it happen. Now, not as fast as I'd like to see it. I prayed for some for years and years and years. But you know what? I've watched nearly every member of my family walking with the Lord. Now, many were before. But I'll tell you something that wasn't true. Most of the members of Henrietta's family weren't walking with the Lord, and nearly all of them do now, of her immediate family. And it's the same with all of us. When we get blessed, you say, well, you must have done a lot of preaching to them. I did some, but I'll tell you what. It was kind of like the old Torah teachers say, live the Torah. And if you have to, say a few words. And I believe that was the way Noah was a preacher of righteousness more than anything else was. He lived righteousness before the people while he was building the ark. He was offering chances to them. None took it. That doesn't change anything. We can't call him a success or a failure because of that. Because one thing we do know, he did what God told him to do, right? But the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. I want to be a preacher of righteousness. Amen. The blessing. Oh, I want to walk in it, and I want you to walk in it. That's why we're taking all this time talking about it. Let's stand up. Praise God. Father, today we bless you and honor you and worship you. And we thank you that you are teaching us by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Man is just what you work through, Lord. My mouth is what you can work through, and I yield my mouth to you every time I speak, Lord, so that you might speak your words and the people might begin to have understanding. Lord, the blessing is your plan, your purpose, your absolute destiny for this world is that the world be blessed. And you have brought this to being through Jesus Christ, and you will continue to bring it into being until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. And so today we thank you for the blessing. And we say today we will walk in the blessing, and we will continue to learn of the blessing. We will continue to speak the blessing, Lord, until it's real in us, until it moves in us, until we have understanding and revelation in it. We'll continue to do it. We thank you that you are blessing those around us because we are blessed. We praise you, Father, that we can walk in a purity that will enhance the blessing. And Lord, most of all, that we can be in unity with one another so that the blessing might grow between us. We praise you and thank you for that in the name of Yeshua. And now, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And everyone said, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.